Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yuma Daf Samach Ches. We are holding on Daf Samach Zayin Beis. We're at the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Samach Zayin Beis. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and also by Misha Feldman in memory of the third yard site of his wife, Donna Feldman, Donna Pesia Bashmul Yaakov Zev, Rene Shabbash Evan Aliyah. We thank both of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. The first thing we're going to discuss, the Mishnah is going to talk about the continuation of the Kohen Gadol's Avodah with the Par and the Sa'ir. We took a little bit of a break to discuss the Seir La'azazel and bringing out the Seir La'azazel. Now we're going to go back into the Beis HaMikdash where the Kohen Gadol is dealing with the Par and the Sa'ir. And the Gemara is going to talk about exactly how the Par and the Sa'ir looked, how they were arranged with each other when dealing with them, when they were being brought out to be burnt. The Gemara is going to have a limud that the Par Kohen Gadol and the Par Helem Davar are burnt chutz mishalosh machanos, even though they're metami begadim of the person who's bringing them out, even once they go chutz l'machna achas, chutz l'machna shechina. Then the Gemara is going to discuss how we use michutz l'machna to teach the burning of the Par Yom HaKippurim in different directions. That according to Rabbi Shimon, it's in the east of Yerushalayim, whereas like the Par Aduma is, whereas according to the Rabbanan, it would be burnt michutz l'machna north of Yerushalayim. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss the details of the place where they did the burning, and the Brisa is going to tell us that only the person who actually has it, who actually burns it, is metame begadim, and even then only before the burning is over. But if you burn it after it's already completely charred, then it's not metame begadim. Then the last Mishnah in the parak, last Mishnah in the sixth parak, is going to discuss how they let the Kohen know that the Seir had gotten to the Midbar, the Seir La'azazel had arrived at the Midbar, so that he may continue with the Avodas Hayom. And then Be'ez Hashem will begin the seventh parak, and the first Mishnah in the seventh parak discusses the Kriyas HaTorah that the Kohen Gadol does on Yom HaKippurim and a variety of brachos that he recites following the Kriyas HaTorah on Yom HaKippurim. And the initial Gemara after that discusses whether one is allowed to be Neheneh from Big Day Kuhuna. So let's begin Samach Zayinun Beis at the Mishnah. So the Mishnah discusses, again, after we already finished talking about how they brought the Seir La'azazel where it needed to go, so what happens next in the Beis HaMikdash? So Balo Eitzel Parvisar Nisrafin. So after the Kohen Gadol delivers the Seir to the guy who's going to bring it out, La'azazel, he goes back to the Parvisar Nisrafin, meaning the Par and the Sari that are already shafted and the Dam was already Nisrak, and now they're Omid L'Sreifa, they're ready to be burnt. So Kra'an, he tears open their bodies, votes Yasei Mirayan, and he removes the Emurim from inside their bodies. He puts it into a Kli Shares, and he burns those on the Mizbeach. Now the idea that he puts it into a Magus, that he puts it into a Kli Shares, in the Mikdash David, he says from the Mishnah, it sounds like a single Kli Shares for both the Par and the Sa'ir. Problem is, there's a Gemara Menachos Daf Peites and Beis that says that you're not allowed to be ma'ariv chalavim b'chalavim. You're not allowed to be ma'ariv the fats of one carbon with the fats of another carbon. So how is he allowed to be ma'ariv the chalavim of the par and the chalavim of the sa'ir in the same magis? So the Mikdash David suggests that it could be that over here, since you're ma'ariv the dam of the par and the sa'ir, which we already learned back on Daf Nun Gimel, so the par and the sa'ir are now considered a single carbon, and therefore you're allowed to be ma'ariv the rimur as well. However, other acharim are not so sure that there was only one magis. It could be that there were two clay sharis that they would put the fats into separately, that they would put the emurim into separately. But at least that's the way the Mikdash David understands Pashup Shar in the Mishnah, that it was a single magis, it was a single clay sharis. They would mix them both in because it now has become one carbon since you have already mixed the dam with each other. Then klatin b'miklaos, after they tear open the emurim, they would take the bodies of the par and the sa'ir, after they took out the emurim, rather, they would take the bodies of the par and the sa'ir, and they would like wind them together or braid them together. They would put the sa'ir and the par and the sa'ir on two poles that are each held. Each of the poles are held by two people, so it's a total of four people. And they would bend the bodies of the par and the sa'ir one over and under the other as a way of sort of like braiding them together. That's at least how Rashi understands. The Rambam understands a little bit differently. The Rambam in Avodas Yom Kippur and Paragimel Alacha Zayin says it means that they would cut the basar into large pieces, but they would leave them attached to the or. They wouldn't totally detach them from the or. So those chatichos appeared ke'ein kliya, like they were braided, like a chain. that that was connected in that way. So it's considered to be like chained together. That's what it means. But not that the bodies were intertwined with each other. And then Votsian, they would bring send it to be brought out the Beis HaSreifa outside of Yerushalayim to the place where they would be Sarif, where they would burn it. And the people who would bring the par and the sa'ir to the Beis HaSreifa would become Tamei Begadim. The halacha is it would require kibbutz begadim. It's a pasuk in the Torah. V'asarif asami chabes begadim v'rachatz b'sar b'mayim. So me'im asayim b'tamei begadim. At what point does that tumas begadim kick in? Mishayetu chutz l'chamas azara. As soon as they leave the walls of the azara. Rabbi Shimon Amar mishayatzis ha'ur b'ruban. Then no, it's only when the fire burns the robe of the basar of the par and the sa'ir. Only then is it b'tamei. Only then do they become tamei and their begadim become tamei as well. Sfasemes raises a suffix. Does Rabbi Shimon mean to say that it's that only the person who actually burns rove of the par and the sar is metame begadim? But if he only began the burning, so even though lebasof it actually got burnt through him, he's going to be tar? Or does he have to actively be involved? Or do we assume no that because he didn't burn it bepoel rove of the par and the sar? Or do we assume that even if he just began the burning and he wasn't actively involved till it got to the point of mostly burnt, that even that would be metame begadim, as long as it happens, as long as it gets to the point of mostly burnt. Okay, but whatever it is, when it's yatzis ha'ur beruban, when it's majority burnt, that's when we assume that he's going to be metame begadim. So says Gemara, v'ktir et salkadaitach. Wait a second. Do you mean to tell me that he's makter them right now? The Akhtaras Emurim is later on. It's when the Kohen Gadol is with the Big Dezav and he's being makter of the Musafim. So le'ema lehaktiran al gabi mizbech. No, at this point he's still not being makter them. He's putting them in a magis. He's putting them in a klisharis to later be makter them. Klon b'maklaos. We then said that, according to Rashi, it means they binded the bodies together like a chain. Some Rabbi Yochanan kamin kliya. It means kamin kliya, means like a chain. It does not mean that they put them on sticks that looked like chains, but it means that the actual bodies themselves are kamin kliya. The bodies of these animals, the carcasses of these animals are kamin kliya. So we then said the Kohen Gadol sends the par and the sire to the Beis HaSreifa after he has removed the emurim from them. So now we're going to discuss some of the details of the Sreifa. So Tana, we learned that the guy who burns them would cut up the par and the sire into its limbs, but lo ayyamanatcha nituach basarola. He wouldn't cut it up like the nituach that they would do of a carbon ola, where they would first remove the skin before they would dismember the animal, before they would cut up the animal into pieces. Ela or al gabe basar. Rather, they kept the or on the basar even as they cut it up into a varim. So minanimili, how do I know that that's true? That by the shefas hapar and the sayer, they would be menatech and they would not skin it first like they would by the korban ola. So says Mar Detanya, we have a brayser. Rebbe Omer Nemar Khan, it says by the par and the sar of Yom Kippurim. Or ubasar uperesh doesn't say those words. It says v'sarfu be'esh esarasam v'espesaram v'espirsham. So within the span of six words, or basar and peresh are all mentioned together. V'nemr la'alan, and it says by the being mostly the parkoin mashiach that in avera that or ubasar uperesh. It also says v'es orapar v'es called b'saro al rosho v'alkrav v'kirbo upirsho. In the same pasuk mentions the or the basar and the peresh. So we make the following drasha malah. And on the very top of Samech Chesam Ra'alev, just like by the Parkoy and Mashiach, the burning is al yedei nituach velo al yedei havshet. It was by breaking it up into pieces, into limbs, but not by skinning the animal. So afkan al yedei nituach velo al yedei havshet. So we hear also by the part of Sorei Shomayim Kippurim, there was a nituach, but there was no havshet. So the Gemara says, well, what's the makar that the Parkoy and Mashiach would be cut up into a varim and that they wouldn't be mafshet the ar? V'hasa minolan. How do I know by the Parkoy and Mashiach that you have to burn it? That the guy who burns it has to cut it up into a varim, but he does not skin it first, meaning that's the basis of the limud, is from the Parkoin Mashiach. But who told me by the Parkoin Mashiach they do that? That's also unusual. How do I know that they didn't skin it first? So Detanya, we have a brisa that tells us that when the Torah tells me about the bringing out of the Parkoin Mashiach to be burnt, it says v'kirbo upirsho v'hotzi. So melamed shemotzi oshalim. That tells me that when they bring the par to the Beis HaSreifa, seifa, they bring it out shalem, and they don't cut it up before they bring it out. Because if it was already cut up, how could you bring out everything that it identifies in the pasuk to bring out all at one time? It would be in a million different pieces. So it must be that it wasn't yet cut up at the time of hotzah, because the pasuk says ves ara par ves kol besaro al rosho val krav vikirbo upirsho, and then vahotzi. You have one guy bringing all that. How's he going to bring all that if it's in a million pieces already? So yachal yisrafenu shalem. You might think that even when he burns it whole, and he doesn't cut it up into pieces. So ne'emar kan. That's why the pasuk says by parkoin mashiach rosho ukra'ov v'ne'emar la'alon. And it says by the aktaris karbonola on the mizbech rosho ukra'ov. So malahalon, just like by the karbonola al yedei nituach, when they burn it after it's cut up into pieces. Sa'af kan. So too by the sreifas parkoin mashiach, it's al yedei nituach. They also cut it up into pieces. Ah, so imalalon al yedei hefshet. If you're going to learn what we do with the parkoin mashiach from a carbon ola, well, by a carbon ola we skin it first. Saaf kan al yedei hefshet. Over here also by the parkoin mashiach, you're going to say you skin it first. Tamalomar v'kirbo firsho. That's why it says kirbo firsho, to tell me that we do not skin the R before the burning. My Talmuda, how do you see from the words v'kirbo firsho that you don't skin it first? Where in those words does it say not to skin it? So Rav Papa explains that it's the halacha is derived from the fact that the Torah makes a hekesh between the Ora and the Basar on the one hand, and the Kerev and the Peresh on the other hand, the waste product of the animal on the other hand. Akashem Shapirsho Bekirbo, just like the waste of the animal. Certainly when you bring it out, the Beis HaShefas inside the stomach, they wouldn't take it out of the stomach and leave it exposed. Kach Besaro Ba'oro. So to the Basar remains enclosed in the R. They do not remove it from the R. Oh, so that's how I know that at least when it comes to the par of the parkoin mashiach, that they keep the skin on the animal. Once I know by the parkoin mashiach that they keep the skin on the animal and they burn it, I learn from there to the par and sar shel yom kippurim. So to quickly review, we said that when they would burn the par v'sar shel yom kippurim, they would cut it up into pieces but leave the skin on the animal when they burnt it. The Gemara says, but that's so strange. By a carbon ola they didn't do that. By a carbon ola they would remove the skin. He said, yeah, but we learned this from the parkoin mashiach. Parkoin mashiach, they leave the skin on. How do I know by the parkoin mashiach they leave the skin on? Especially since we see that there is a halach of the parkoin mashiach that we derive from carbon ola, namely that it's got to be cut up into pieces before you burn it. No, because there's a pasuk that tells me v'kirbo pirsho by the parkoin mashiach. That tells me that you leave the skin on the parkoin mashiach when you burn it. Good. So now that I know you leave the skin on the parkoin mashiach when you burn it, I learned from there that the parvus shel yom kippurim also you leave the skin on when you burn it. Then the Mishnah got into a discussion by Ema Sayim B'tam B'gadim. Someone who's bringing the par in the Sayer, the Sreifa, when he brings it outside of, when is he B'tam B'gadim? So Tanakama said when he brings it outside of the Azara, whereas Rabbi Shimon says, no, only Mishiyatsu Sa'ar or Beruban, only when the fire has taken over the majority of the body that it's burning. So the Gemara brings a price, where exactly they would burn this stuff? Where would they burn the par in the Sa'ir? So Tan Rabbanan, the price tells me as follows, and in that price we're also going to see the makar of the sheet of the Tanakama, that it's as soon as it leaves the Azara, there's already Tumas Begadim. So a lot of details about the burning. So Tan Rabbanan, the Brisa tells me as follows. The Torah tells me by the par and the sar shel Yom Kippurim, it says, Yotziel michut samach nevesarfu. The whole pasuk is parachatos veisirachatos. It says that the par and the sire is the topic of the pasuk. You should bring a michut samach nevesarfu ve'esh, and you should burn it in the fire. So from the lush of the pasuk, it sounds like the place that they would burn it is only chutz l'machna achas. So the Brisa wonders, well, wait a second. Lahalon, when it comes to the par ha'eda and the par koin mashiach, meaning if Beis Din made a hora'a bishkaga against what the Torah says, and it's not against what's mefurish in the Torah, and never the whole tzibur did follow the psak of the Beis Din, so they bring a par l'chatas, the par alam davar shel tzibur. So it says by the par alam davar shel tzibur and by the par koin mashiach, atanos in them shalosh machanos, that they should be burnt outside of shalosh Shalosh Machanos, meaning Shalosh Machanos means not only the Machna Shechina, not only the Machna Levia, but outside of Yerushalayim entirely. It has to go outside not only of the Azara, not only of the Harabayas. That's Machna Shechina, Machna Levia. But outside of Yerushalayim entirely, so Yerushalayim meaning, of course, the old city of Yerushalayim, the Kanat and Osilem Machna Achas. And by the parents, or Shal Yom HaKippurim, the din is that it goes outside of only one machna, just outside of the Azara. But you can't say that, because the parish of the Sar Shal Yom HaKippurim are also chatos ha-pnimios, just like the par Kohen Mashiach and the par Amdov Shal Tzibur. And the Torah always compares them to each other, that we always derive halachos from one to the other. So with this hekesh, we must learn that the Sefer's par Sar Shal Yom HaKippurim is chutz mi shalosh machnos, not only chutz mi machna achas. Im kain, oh, so if the par of Sar Shal Yom HaKippurim is burnt, chutz le shalosh machnos, lamen. Why does it say Michutz Machna make it sound like it's only one Machna? Lomer Lecha, Kivin Shiatz Michutz Machna Achas Metam Begadim. Must be that something happens when it goes Chutz Machna Achas. Oh, that's when the person bringing it out is Metame Begadim. So the Tumas Begadim of the fellow that's bringing it out happens as soon as he leaves the Azara, but the actual Sreifa only happens Chutz Shalosh Machnos outside of Yerushalayim. So we see that the Makom Sreifas Parkoi Mashiach is Chutz Shalosh Machnos. So where do we say, so the Gemara says, let's bring a source for that. V'hasa minalan. How do I know? Meaning we derived that the par and the sar of Yom Kippurim is burned chutz l'shalosh machnos because the par on davar shel tzibur and the par kohen Mashiach is chutz l'shalosh machnos. Who told me that that's true? How do I know that the arvacha arvat sarf? How do I know that that's true? That the parum davar shel tzibur and the par kohen Mashiach is chutz l'shalosh machnos. So v'hasa minalan. How do I know by those parum that is chutz l'shalosh machnos? Titania, because we have a brisa. The Torah describes v'hotzias kol hapar michutz l'machna. So chutz l'shalosh machnos. It means that you bring a chutz l'shalosh machnos. Atom chutz l'shalosh machnos and el machnachas. It didn't really tell me anything. How do you know what it's talking about? Do you know that it means chutz l'shalosh machnos? Maybe it means only chutz l'machnachas. Shuomer bepara edo, when it says by the param dovah shel tzibur el michutz l'machna shein tamal omer, didn't have to say the words el michutz l'machna shari kvar nemar v'sorof ozo kasher sorof as para rishon. It already says to burn it the same way you did the par kohen Mashiach that we spoke about previously, so that already includes the din of chutz l'machna. So matam alomar el michutz l'machna, why does it have to say by the param dovah shel tzibur again el michutz l'machna litel l'machna shniya, to tell me that it doesn't only go outside of the machna shchina but it also goes out of a second machna? Okay, second machna would only mean outside of the Harabayis, outside of the Machna Levia. Ukshu Omer, when the Pasuk says, Michutz Machna, Badeshen, when it says, you should bring the Deshen Michutz Machna, by the Otzos HaDeshen, Shein Tamal Omer, because it doesn't really teach me anything that you bring the Deshen Michutz Machna, Shekvar Nemar, because it already says by the Parkoid Mashiach, El Shefech HaDeshen, that you bring the Parkoid Mashiach to the place of Shefech HaDeshen. So I know that the Deshen is already being brought out, Chutz Machna. So why does the Torah have to again say the words El Michutz Machna by the Deshen? So Teimlo Machna Shlishis. That tells me that it's Chutz L'Shalosh Machnos. So from there we learn that all Parma Nisrafim that are linked to each other, that are all connected to each other, are Nisraf Chutz L'Shalosh Machnos. So that's the source that the Parma Dovah Shel Tzibur and the Par Kohen Mashiach are all brought Chutz L'Shalosh Machnos. Because it tells me Chutz L'Machna by the Parma Dovah Shel Tzibur, tells me Chutz L'Machna by the Par Kohen Mashiach, and it tells me Chutz L'Machna by the Deshen. So and I don't need it in the second two places. So the fact that it says it in all those three places tells me that it's three machanos. So Rabbi Shimon who held that the begadim of the guy who's burning only become tame when yatzis ha'or berubo, when the fire is already catching on to the majority of the basar of the animal. What does he do with the words michutz machna by the par yom kippurim? Because after all, we already derived in the brisa that how do I know that that he's metame begadim? That we already derived in the brisa the shita of the Tanakama, he's metame begadim. Because the pasuk makes it sound like you only bring it chutz machna achas, but we pointed out it can't be. It has to be that you're bringing it chutz l'shalosh machnos. What happens chutz machna achas? The tumas begadim. Okay, but what if you hold the tumas begadim does not happen chutz machna achas? The tumas begadim only happens much later. So what do you do with the phrase michutz machna? So mivay lelecha detanya. He uses it for the following brisa. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Nemar Khan. It says by the karbonos of Yom Kippurim. the parim, the story of Yom Kippurim, michutz l'machane v'nemer la'alon. And it says in this week's parsha, this is our daf yomi coincidence. It says in parsha's chukas, michutz l'machane by the para aduma, it says michutz l'machane. So machan, just like by the para Yom Kippurim, it's chutz l'shalosh machanos. It's outside of three machanos, just like we derive from the parkoin Mashiach. Afla alon, so too by the Shechitas Paraduma, it's chutz l'shalosh machnos, that they would shecht the Paraduma outside of three machnos. Umala halon b'mizracha shel Yerushalayim, and just like the Paraduma, it's done to the east of Yerushalayim, because it says by the Mazameh Paraduma, v'hiza el nochach p'nei el moed, that he stands across from the Pesach of the Heichal, which is open toward the Mizrach. So the Mazah is obviously standing to the east of Yerushalayim, and he's facing toward the west. Sa'af Khan, so too by the Par Yom HaKippurim, it's b'mizracha shal Yerushalayim, that the place that they would burn it is to the east of Yerushalayim. V'rabbanan hechasaraf lu, so wait a second, if Rabbi Shimon derives from the pasuk michutz l'machane that they would dafka burn it east of Yerushalayim, but the Rabban already used michutz l'machane to tell me that he's metame begadim as soon as he leaves the Azara, where did the Rabbanan hold it's supposed to get burnt? There's no limut to tell me it gets burnt to the east of Yerushalayim. Kiditanya, for the Brisa tells me that the Chataos HaPnimios, they have to be burned, Chutz L'Shalosh Machnos, Heicha Nisrafin, where would they, which direction from Yerushalayim would they be burnt? L'Tzvona Shal Yerushalayim. It would be burnt to the north of Yerushalayim, like all other Chataos that are done B'Tzafon. In general, the Maisa Chatos is always done B'Tzafon, so even when it's Chutz L'Machna, you bring it more north. The Chutz L'Shalosh Machnos is way more north, outside of Shalosh Machnos to the north. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Abeis Hadesh Nisrafim. And Rabbi Yossi says, those Parim and Nisrafim get burnt on the Beis HaDeshen, that since it says by the Parkoid Mashiach, Al Shefach HaDeshen Yisareif, so the Torah is teaching me that you have to burn the Parim in the place of the Shefach HaDeshen. Now, before you burn the Par, you have to take Deshen from the Mizbech, in order that that place should be called the Shefach HaDeshen. So from the fact that Rabbi Yossi comes to teach me that you have to first place Deshen there, it sounds like according to the Tanakhama, you don't have to first place Deshen there. The Tanakhama is deriving from here, that it's just burnt to the north of Yerushalayim. So Amar Rava, man tana de palagale de Rabbi Yossi. Who disagrees with Rabbi Yossi and holds that the Shefach HaPar does not require a Beis HaDeshen, does not require that it be done in a place where there's Deshen? So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who, that must be the Shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the Tanya, because we have a Brisa, when the Torah talks about the Shefach Parkoin Mashiach, it says, Al Shefach HaDeshen Yisareif, Shiehe L'Sham Deshen, that it has to be the place of the Shefach is the place where they have the Deshen of Mizbeach, like Rabbi Yossi says. But Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, no, when it says Al Shefach HaDeshen, it doesn't mean that there has to be Deshen there before you burn it, but rather Shiehe Makomo Meshufach. It means the Makom of the Sefer should be a place that's on an incline, that the Deshen of the Par would spill down. And according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, you don't have to have Deshen that precedes the burning of the Par. It just tells me that when it becomes Deshen, it should be Shefach. It should be a place that just that pours down, that slides down. Tosi Shanim raises the question that how could we learn previously on Amud Aleph that the Shefach HaPar was Chutz L'Shalosh Machnos? The whole limud was from the fact that it says an extra Michutz L'Machne by the Parsha of Shvichas HaDeshen, that because it had already said it by the Par Mashiach L'Makom HaDeshen. But according to Elazar ben Yaakov, that the Pasuk is telling me Mekomo Meshufach, so it turns out that it's not extra. So if it's not extra, then I'm back stuck with that. How do I know that it's Chutz L'Shalosh Machnos? So that's a kasha that we showed him work on. So Abaye rejects Rava. Amar Le Abaye says to Rava, V'dilma b'mekom meshufach hu depligi. Maybe the whole machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is whether you need the place to be, a place that's on an incline. But maybe everyone agrees that there has to be Deshen there. It's just that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying, in addition to the fact that there has to be Deshen over there, that's not enough. It also needs to be on a shipua, on some sort of incline. Okay, so now the Gemara brings a brisa as far as Tumas Begadim of the person who burns the par in the Sa'ir. Tan Rabban, the brisa tells us as follows. When it comes to burning the par in the Sa'ir of Yom Kippurim, Pasuk says Vasoreif, Pasuk says Vasoreif, Osami Chabes Begadav. So from the word Osam, we're going to darshan the following. That Hasoreif Metame Begadim, Vela Meitzis Sa'or. That the person who actually does, who's involved in the burning of the bodies themselves, is Metame Begadim, but not just the person who can kindles the fire. Nor the person who arranges the wood that's going to be burnt on. They're not dealing with the sreifa of the carcasses itself. They're not going to be metame begadim. Vezu asarif zem sayed shasreifa. Sarif is someone who's there helping at the time of the sreifa itself. He's flipping the meat, the basar. He's throwing more wood onto the fire. He's being mahapik b'gachalim. He's doing something while the meat is actually burning. So yachal af mishenasu efer metame begadim. You might think that. Even after it's turned into ashes, the guy who helps at that point is also metame begadim, as if he's helping to burn. So if he does something more, he stokes the coals or something, they should be metame begadim. No, that's why tabalomer, that's why the pasuk says, Osam, that is Dafka Sarif, Osam is Matami Begadim. Osam Matami Begadim, Roman Shasuev from Matami Begadim. That only Osam is Matami Begadim, but not someone who's only involved after it's already become Efer, after it's already become ashes. Because once it's become ashes, it's not called Sarif Osam. It's a Panam Chadash Kuspolukan. It's a brand new entity. It's ashes. It's not the original item anymore. Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon say, Hapar Matami Nita Chabasar Eina Matami Begadim. That it says Hapar, so we learn Dafka from there that only when it's recognizable as a par it's metame begadim. But once the basar is all burnt up and it's no longer recognizable, then it's not going to be metame begadim anymore. So here you have the machlokas Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon, whether we darshan from the word osam or do we darshan from the word hapar to tell me that a guy who gets involved late in the game after it's already turned into ashes, that person is not metame begadim. It's a little bit funny to see a chizuk points out that the Gemara Zvachim records the same machlokas, but over there both of them derive from the word osam. The whole machlokas is just what the mechanics of the drasha are, but it's the same word that we darshan from. It's just that Tanakama darshans to be mema'et when it's already become efer and it's no longer attached together as a single unit, as a single body, whereas Rabbi Shimon is mema'et mishanita chabasar, where you can no longer see the tsura of the basar, but it's not totally ashes, where it's completely fallen apart. Right? Those are two very different stages. Right, when you say nita chabasar, it just means you can't recognize it as meat anymore. But when you say that it becomes efer, it means it's completely ash. It's all torn apart. It's all fallen apart. So my binai, what's the nafkamina between them? Ikavinai shabi charucha. Like we just said, nafkamina is if it's totally charred, but it's not yet ashes. Ashes is a different madrega that requires a great deal of burning and a great deal of heat. A friend of mine told me, a friend of mine who lives in Eretz Yisrael, told me that there was a fellow in Beit Shemesh who had a mezuzah up in a metal case on the hottest block in Beit Shemesh, right across from the sun all day. There was a metal case outside of his house for the mezuzah. He figured that we were always told the most protective cases are the metal cases. They're the strong ones. But he didn't realize that metal is also a conductor of heat. So when he went to get his mezuzah checked, they opened up the bottom of the mezuzah and ashes just came out, which is crazy that would happen. So that's a madriga, right? That's not just where it smudged some of the letters. That's what you think the risk with heat is. That's a totally different madriga. So these are shavi charucha is way before it becomes total ash. Okay, new mishnah. So says the last mishnah in the parak. They then tell the Kohen Gadol that the Seir has arrived at the Midbar so that he can know. He can now continue with the Avodah Sayom. He can do the Kriyas HaTorah and all the other Avodos that he's going to need to do that day. That's at least the way Rashi understands. That's why he needs to know. The Rambam, Milch Savodos Yom HaKippurim, disagrees with Rashi. He says as soon as he sends the Seir to the Midbar, he could already start the Avodos. It's only the Kriyas HaTorah that they wouldn't do until the Seir got to the Midbar. And the fact that they waited until the Seir got to the Midbar so that he could be Kori Batona. It's only the Kriyas HaTorah. So it turns out Shitas Rashi is waiting for the Seer to get to the Midbar is a din d'oraisa because it's a din in the Avoda. Whereas going to the Rambam, L'chor, it's only a din midrabanan and it's a din in the Kriyas HaTorah. So Minayin Yodin, how would they know in Yerushalayim, Shehigia Seer, the Midbar, that the Seer has already arrived, that it's already gotten all the way to the Midbar? So Dekos Hayu Osin Manifin B'Sudarin. They made these flags and they would wave these flags from the place where they were with the Seer. so that people could see in Yerushalayim that it has arrived. And the Yodin Shegiya Seir the Midbar. And that's how they knew that the Seir had arrived in the Midbar. So the Gemara brings another Shita. Amra Yehuda, why do I need a simon of waving the flags in order to know that the Seir arrived in the Midbar? Follow simon Gadol Ayelam, they had a much better simon. Because Yerushalayim had Beis Chidudo. From Yerushalayim until a place called Beis Chidudo, which is the beginning of the Midbar, which is where the Seir needs to get in order for the Kohen Gadol to get it. It doesn't have to get all the way to the cliff. It doesn't have to get all the way to Azazel, where it's going to be chopped off the cliff. It just needs to get to the beginning of the Midbar. So what's the distance from Yerushalayim until the beginning of the Midbar? Shlosha Milin, it's 3 mil. And the Chavshuva Yerushalayim, we learned from the Mishnah Samach Vav, are Holchin, they go and they're Melave, the Mishaleach, meal. They go 1 mil outside Yerushalayim, and then the Chozun meal. Then they return back a meal, Vishoin Kedei meal, and then they wait what the amount of time that it takes to walk one more meal, and now it's been 3 mil of time that the Seir has been on its journey. So that's how they would know. Why do you need to wave flags? There were people accompanying it, its first meal, and then when those people were walking back, it was going forward its second meal, and then the people who walked back, when they arrived back, would wait, Kedei Hiluch meal, and that was how they would estimate 3 mil. In the Shiari Karban, he raises the question, why does Rabbi Yehuda call that a simon gadol? L'chor, it's a much worse simon. That's an estimate. A flag is it's here, right? We can verify that it's here, but this is just an estimate. So in Siach Yitzchak, he explains that by the Sudrin, you had to rely on the Manifin. And it could be that the first guy waving the flag, that was Samach Lamidbar, would be Meshaker. He would lie in order to hurry up the Avodah Sayom. As opposed to by this simon, we knew to be Meshar this man, because we knew that when they got back, and had to, they had to walk the full meal. They had to walk back the full meal. So the estimate turns out to be better because there was less of room for being mishakel. Sfasema says, but I don't even understand, how can you rely? Sfasema raises the question, how can they rely on an estimate? This is a din d'oraisa. So the rule generally is seven d'oraisa l'chumra. You shouldn't rely on an estimate. You should wait until you know for sure that everything is okay. So that also the achronim have some trouble with. But anyway, that's what Rabbi Yehuda calls the simon gadol. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, there's another sheet to how they knew that the seer arrived in the midbar. Follow simon acher hayolam. There was a third simon. Lashon shel zahoris hayikash al pisco shel heichal. There was a red string that was tied by the pesach of the heichal. Ukshigiyah seer the midbar hayal lashon malbin. And when the seer got to the midbar, that lashon shel zahoris would turn white. Shenemrim yuchateichem kashanim kashela yalbinu. So the navi tells the Jewish people, why don't you do tshuva even if your averos are as red as crimson? They can turn white again. So you see that Paras Havonos is reflected in whitening of that which was red. So that's what they would look at. They would just look at the red turned white. So three shittos how they knew. Oh, we lost the zoom. Three shittos of how they knew when the seir had arrived at the midbar. So either that they had the waving of the flags, or that they estimated the time based on the people who would accompany it, or that the crimson would turn white. So why did the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda not accept Rabbi Shmuel's Shita? It's a really great way. If that works, that you can just look at the red string and look when it turns white, so why doesn't everybody say that you do like that? So it says, Yom Tov writes, based on what the Gemara said in Daf Samach Zayin, that originally they were tied with Lashon Shel Zahoris by the Pesach Chul Mibachutz, and then when they saw that if it didn't turn white, they were at Seivim and Mespaishim, they were sad and they were embarrassed, so they decided to be kosher al Pesach Chul Mibifnim, and still they were looking to see. They would see on the inside, so they were misaking to be kosher lashon shel zahoris on the selah shabatzuk, half on the selah shabatzuk and half ben karnei seir. So now I understand this is talking about after the takana, but maybe in a chinami before the takana. Oh, I'm muted. Maybe in a chinami before. Sorry, everyone. Maybe in a chinami before the takana. Before the takana, it was they everyone agreed to Rabbi Yishmael. But the whole machlokas is what would they do after the takana? The other possibility is that maybe it didn't always work. Maybe it didn't always turn white. So they sought to go on with the avodah sayom, even if they had no miraculous appearance of a kapara. They sought to go on with the avodah sayom. So maybe that's the reason. Okay. So says the Gemara, Amar Abayi Shemamina. We learned from Rabbi Yehuda that Beis Chidudo b'Midbar Kaima. That Beis Chidudo, this place that we're identifying identifying as Beis Chidudo, that once the Seir gets there, then the Kohen Gadol will go on with his Avodah Siyom. That must have been in the Midbar. And it's telling me the Chiddush that he's telling me is that once the Seir gets to the Midbar, so the mitzvah is already done. You don't have to wait till it gets to the Tzuk, till it gets to the cliff, that it's going to be thrown off of. As soon as it gets to the Midbar, Kohen Gadol could go on with his day. So now we begin the seventh parak of Maseches Yuma. So the Mishnah, again, going on with the Kohen Gadol's day on Yom HaKippurim. Balo Kohen Gadol Likros. So now the Kohen Gadol goes to read from the Torah, the Parshios Yom that he has to read from the Torah. Simratza Likros Bebigdei Boots. If he wants to wear Bigdei Pishtan, whatever white clothing that he's still wearing from the Avodah Siyom that he had done, so Karei, that's perfectly fine. He can wear that clothing, but only the Bigdei Lavan that he's already wearing. He's not allowed to now put on the Bigdei Zav in order to do the Kriyas Torah, because whenever you're Mishana Begadim, Avodah LaAvodah, it needs Tevila, and it needs Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, so it would be a whole process, and you can't be Tovah Mekadosh Yadayim unless it's Letzorech Avodah, and the Kriya is not really an Avodah Gemurah, the Ritva points out, so you'd have no Heter to go, you're not allowed to bathe in Yom Kippur, you'd have no Heter to do Tevila and Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, so you wouldn't be allowed to change into the Bigdei Zav, but if he's wearing his Bigdei Lavan, good, so let him be Koreh with the Bigdei Lavan. But Ve'im Lav, if he doesn't want to be Koreh with the Bigdei Lavan, Koreh Be'itz L'Slav and Mishalau, good, let him wear his own white robe then. He doesn't have to wear the official Bigdei Kuhuna, because after all, the Kriya is not an Avodah. He can read with whatever Begadim he wants to read. That's how the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos. It doesn't say... And only the Meiri points out that the reason it gives an example of Itzlus Lava Mishalo, of wearing a white robe, the Meiri says, because that's how the Zakenim and the Anashim Shel Tzura, the people that were Chashva people, used to walk around. They would always wear white clothing on Yom HaKippurim. So that would be the natural thing, that everyone's wearing a kittel. So if he wants to wear a kittel, let him wear a kittel like everybody else. Chazan HaKnesses Notel Sefer Torah. So how did he get the Sefer Torah? So the Chazan HaKnesses, the Shamish that was on the Har HaBayis near the Azar of the Beis HaKnesses, that was on the Har HaBayis near the Azar, would take a Sefer Torah, v'nosel the Rosh HaKnesses, and he would give it to the Rosh HaKnesses, for Rosh HaKnesses nosel the Sagan. And the Rosh HaKnesses would give it to the Sagan Kohen Gadol. The Sagan nosel the Kohen Gadol. And then the Sagan would give it to the Kohen Gadol. The Gemara is going to elaborate on why we have to have the Sefer Torah pass through so many hands. Why can't the Kohen Gadol just take it? The Kohen Gadol omele makabel, then the Kohen Gadol is makabel the Sefer Torah. The Koreli reads the Sefer Avodas Yom HaKippurim in Acharemos, and the Achbe Asor in Parshas Emor, where it says the dinim of Yom HaKippurim, the Gadol Sefer Torah manicha b'cheiko, and then he rolls up the Sefer Torah and he puts it in his lap for Omer, and he says to the tzibur, Yosir Mimasha Karasi Lefnechem Kosov Kan. Even though what he means to say is, I'm going to read a third parsha, but the third parsha I'm going to read is going to be Balpeh. So don't think that third parsha, because I'm reading it Balpeh, isn't in this scroll. This scroll has more than what I've read from inside. And Ba'asar, and then he would read from Parshas Pinchas. The Ba'asar Shabbachum Shabbikudim is Parshas Pinchas, Kore Alpeh. But he would read that Balpeh, he wouldn't read that from the Ksav, because it would be a big Tircha Ditzipura to roll the Sefer Torah from Ach Ba'asar until Uba'asar. So that's what the Gemara is going to explain. And the Gemara is going to explain why we don't just bring another Sefer Torah, meaning when we have multiple readings, we'll take out two Sefer Torah, three Sefer Torah. Mistama, they had access to more Sefer Torah, so the Gemara is going to discuss why it is that they would just roll the Sefer Torah instead of bringing more Sefer Torah. Brachos, and then he would say the following eight brachos after the Kriyas HaTorah, and they are brachos that relate to Ala Torah, that's one; Ala Avodah is two; Ala Odah is three; Al Mechilas Havon is four; Al Hamikdash Bifnei Atzmo is five; Al Yisrael Bifnei Atzmo is six. Now here's the problem: Al Yerushalayim Bifnei Atzmo, if you're Gori, said that would be seven; Al Kan Bifnei Atzmo would be eight; and Al Shara Tefila would be nine, but they're only supposed to be eight. So since they're only supposed to be eight, that's why the Bach takes out Al Yerushalayim Bifnei Atzma, that's not on the list. If someone would see the Kohen Gadol when he was reading the Parsha of Yom HaKippurim, they would not be able to see the burning of the Parvasar in Chutz Yerushalayim. If you're seeing the Parvasar in Nisrafim, you would not see the Kohen Gadol when he's reading. It's not that there's an Isser to see the two of these things. It's just that they were far from each other. Yerushalayim and the Beis HaSrefa were some distance from each other, and they were both done at the same time, and a person is not able to see both of them at the same time. This comes up in the Tshuva Sefer, in the Tshuva's Machne Yisrael. He was asked a shayla about a person who's in a by a bris mila, and he also has to go to a shavur brachas that day, or he's by a shavur brachas and he also has to go to a bris mila. Is he allowed to leave one mitzvah that he's also in right now to go to the other Sudas mitzvah? Or do you say that no, you're in a place where they're being mekayma mitzvah? If you're going to leave that, it's going to be a zilzul to the mitzvah that you're involved in right now, so you shouldn't leave. So he brings a raya from our Mishnah that is mutter, because Mishnah says that someone who's Roy the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippurim when he's Kari Kriyas HaTorah is not able to see the Shreifas Par and the Seer on the Srafim, and someone who see the Par and the Seer on the Srafim will not be able to see the Kohen Gadol Kari HaTorah, but not because there's an Isser to see them both, but since it's Bederek Rechoka, you would never make it back and forth, and they were done simultaneously, so that's why you wouldn't be able to. The Gemara is going to explain the Mishnah has to say that there's no Isser Bedavar, because there's room to say that there is an Isser Bedavar, because Barava Madras Melech. So if you're participating in a mitzvah where your presence is enhancing the mitzvah with Barava Madras Melech, so you might think that it's usher to go from one to the other. So Kamash Mulan, that it's not usher to go from one to the other, that even though your presence may be enhancing a mitzvah, to go to experience a piece of the other mitzvah is also okay. It was just a practical impossibility in the case of our Mishnah. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the Gemara on the bottom of Samaches on the base. Have a wonderful Shabbos, everybody. I apologize about the technical difficulties.
Yeah, Shabbat Shalom. Have a good Shabbos, everyone.
Shabbos.